This morning I want to talk to you about forsake me not. Pray with me as we start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your blessings, the way you guide us, the way you lead us. And right now as we spend some time in your word, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. Pray that you will hide me behind the cross and that you allow Jesus to shine forth, so he can minister to our hearts, for we ask it all in his precious name. Amen. Last week, we talked about priorities, how important it is to put God number one in our lives. And if we make him number one in our lives, things will go in their place. God will make sure that everything that we need is taken care of, and that somehow, some way, things come out all right. If we don't put him first in our life and we try to prioritize our lives according to our own things, then things for some reason don't come out all right. But it is important to always put God first, because once we put God first, we surrender ourselves to him. We throw ourselves on him. And he can carry us. He can supply for us. And it takes the worry away. Amen? We can just say, God, it's your problem. It's not my problem. It's your problem, right? Have you ever said that to God? Yeah. It's your problem. You should try it, man. It's very liberating. It's very, you know, it gives you a sense of freedom, right? Let me share this verse with you now. This is Matthew 6, 34. We looked at 33 and back last week. We're looking at verse 34 today before we jump to Jeremiah. Matthew 6:34 says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Have you ever had a day with trouble? Right? And then you start thinking what trouble tomorrow may bring. And you start looking down the calendar and like, oh man, there's a lot of trouble down the road. Right? And sometimes we worry that way. The problem is that when we worry that way, right, it takes our focus from God. It takes our focus from God. It takes our intention. It takes our attention. It takes everything away from God, and we focus on the problems. Now, it's interesting that Jeremiah says to the people, or actually God says to the people through Jeremiah, this is Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, "My people have committed two sins." The King James says two evils. "They have forsaken me," then it says what he is, or representative of what he is, "the spring of living water. And the second evil, or the second sin, they have dug their own cisterns." Cistern is an old word for a well. "They have dug their own wells, broken wells that cannot hold water." So when we worry so much about what's going to happen, what's going to take place, the things that are coming into our life, the struggles that we're going through, it is easy to forget. It is easy to forget God. It was 2002. My wife and I were getting ready for Christmas and had all the Christmas decorations out and doing all of that stuff, and we were going to be having a youth program the following week, and so all the youth were over at our house, and they were getting all the stuff ready, you know, making posters, making their speeches. Everything was just in order. Everything was going really good, and we were so busy, so working. My wife and I were so preoccupied, we're so worried, we're so concerned on the event taking place the next week, that we completely forgot something very important that was happening that day. It wasn't until one of the youth said, "Pastor, isn't it your anniversary tonight?" I froze. My heart started beating real hard. I took one look at my wife, and I could tell that she had forgotten too. So I was like, okay, I'm safe. You know? But you see, we can forget the most important things in our lives when we are so concerned over the things that are happening in our life. God says, you have committed two sins to Israel. Number one, you have forsaken me. Don't forsake God. Well, how do we forsake God? How do we get to the point where we forget who God is? How do we get to the place where we don't remember, we don't have a clue who God is? We have forsaken, we have forgotten about Him. Have you ever gotten to that point? Have you completely forgotten about God? Well, no, we don't get to that point very easy, don't we? But you see, when we get so cluttered up with the things of this world, when we start worrying so much about the things of this world, we forget who He is. I read a story this week, and I share this story only to illustrate the point. It talks about coffee, right? You know what coffee is. You know, coffee beans, coffee fruit, and then you take that and roast it and ground it, and then it makes coffee. I grew up on a coffee plantation, so I've seen it. I've roasted it. When I was a kid, my grandfather would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the first thing he would have was a coffee pot going. You could smell coffee, right? Right. So let me share this illustration with you. I saw it on Facebook this week. One of my friends actually posted, and some of you might have read it already. It's called the carrot, the egg, and the coffee bean. Any of you see it? Anybody see? Okay, somebody saw it. Okay? The carrot, the egg, and the coffee bean. A daughter was going through just a horrible time, problem after another problem. You know, she seemed to get over the things, and then another problem would come, so she's just feeling like life is just, you know, beat her up. She's ready to give up. She doesn't know what to do. She's tired of dealing with it all. So she goes to her mom and starts venting at mom. Mom, this is what I'm going through, problem after problem. I just can't, you know, I'm ready to give up. So mom listens, and then she takes, without saying a word, she takes three pots of water, puts them on high heat. After a little bit, water starts boiling, right? She takes carrots, dumps them in one pot, takes eggs, dumps them in another, and takes beans, coffee beans, and dumps them in another. After 20 minutes, she turns off the water and turns off the heat. The water is obviously boiling. She takes the carrots out. She takes the eggs out. She takes the coffee beans out. And she asks the daughter, "What do you see?" The daughter says, "I see carrots, eggs, and coffee beans." She says, "Well, look closer. Come closer." She looks at the carrots, and though they had been firm and strong and unrelenting to begin with, after being exposed to the heat, they became soft and mushy. The egg, though it looked like it hadn't changed a whole lot on the outside, once the shell was broken, it was hard inside. You see, sometimes when problems come into our life, we can try to be like the carrot. I'm going to go through this. I'm going to make it. We can look at our own strength and say, there's nothing that's going to stop me. I can make it. Nothing is going to, you know, get in my way. I'm going to make it. But we face our problems, and our problems just beat us up, and we become soft and mushy. Whether it be our character, our inner strength, our connection, it's gone. Or we can become like the egg. The egg is fragile and soft and even sensitive. You know, some people have said that, you know, if you're an egg, you're a sensitive person. Well, you can be sensitive, right? But after being exposed to the boiling water, the egg becomes hard inside. You see, sometimes when things don't go our way, when things just don't happen the way we would like them to happen, when life doesn't go the way we have planned it to go, we can become hard. Our heart can become a heart full of resentment. Right? Full of regrets. Full of bitterness. She finally got to the coffee pot, or the coffee, you know, where the coffee beans had been. And she said to the daughter, "Take a sip out of that." Oh man, the smell of coffee. I'm not promoting coffee drinking, by the way. I want you to make that very clear. So I don't want you going out, you know, this morning saying, "Pastor said to..." No, that's not what I'm saying. Right? So she took a little sip. Oh man, the aroma, the smell, the taste. Oh, this is good. This is really good. Man, it kind of woke her up, you know, caffeine. It's strong stimulant. Oh man, she felt good almost instantly. She asked the mom, "Well, what does it mean?" She said, "The carrots, the eggs, and the beans were all exposed to the same treatment, boiling water. But they all reacted differently. The carrots withered. The egg became hardened. The beans didn't change a whole lot. They were still beans. The coffee beans didn't change. But in retrospect, they changed the water. The water didn't change them. They changed the water. They infused their flavor. They infused their aroma. They transformed the water. They did not let the heat destroy them. They allowed the heat to transform what they were in." And it's a lesson as to how each person reacts to difficult times in their life. When you allow difficulties to come into your life and destroy you, they can harden your heart, they can soften you up, or you can allow them to transform. God says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water." When we try to do things our way, when we allow difficulties to overpower us so that, you know, that we don't see a way out and we completely forget that God is there, we can be like the egg or the carrots. Living water. As opposed to broken wells who cannot hold any water. Now, have you ever dug a well? I don't mean with the drill, right? Right, you by hand, okay? If you've ever dug a well, like Dale, and you're going down there, you know, and you're digging, right? Listen, wells are not, you know, very spacious. They're little. I mean, you just have enough room to work, to dig, and hopefully have somebody up there that carries out the dirt. And you're digging, and you're digging, and you're digging. You're going down. And the theory is that the deeper you go, the best quality of water you're going to find. Correct? So you go down, and you're digging, and you're digging, and you're digging. My dad and I were digging a well for our house. This is way down in Central America. We're going way down there. It's just, to me, you know, I was 6 years old at the time, 5, 6 years old at the time. It seemed like I could see the end of the earth down there. And we're just digging and digging, and he's down there. Finally, we hit some water. We hit, you know, it started gushing out. Man, we got it. This is it. And so he's getting out of there with the rope and as fast as he could, and the water's coming up. So we waited a little bit and we went back down. The water had gone back in or gone out. It wasn't a very strong current. It wasn't a very strong vein. So something came up and we had to go somewhere. So we came back about 10 days later to continue working on the well. There wasn't a strong current. Not very strong. So what happened is the water had become stale. It wasn't circular. No fresh water was coming in. It was just sitting. Do you know what happens when water just sits? It goes rotten. You may not know this, but water goes rotten. And it stinks. And things start growing on it. I mean, and it's just, it gets bad. Right? So Dad says, this is not a good well. We either cover it up or we continue digging. So we continue digging. So he goes down and continues. Another 20 feet, he hit another nice vein. And that vein was just so powerful that the well came way up. Man, we had water there for years. As a matter of fact, that well is still working. Still has a big current. It keeps it fresh. It keeps it going. It's a well that will supply water probably for many, many more years. God says, I am the spring of living water. He says, I am the spring that gives you life. Water means life. Water means refreshment. Water means strength. Water means your life, especially when you're in the desert. God says, listen, I am the spring of living water. Don't go digging your own wells that may be broken wells that will not hold water, but look to me. When you're in trouble, when you're going through problems, when you're going through difficulties, look to me. Do not forsake me. He says, I'm right here. I'm right here. I will give you the living water. I don't know if you've ever had a drink of spring water. You know, just natural spring water. That stuff that comes right out of the earth. A lot of people are afraid to drink that kind of water, by the way. You know, all kind of microbes and all kind of stuff. But, you know, when you've grown up in the jungle, you see spring water, you know that that's clean water. And you drink it. Man, I'll tell you what. Best tasting water you could ever taste. Nothing compares. Nothing comes close. God says, I am that spring. Whenever you go through difficulties, don't look anywhere else. Look at me. Come to me. Don't go try to do your own thing. Don't go try digging. I'm right here. I can help you. Let's go back to verse 4 of Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 4. Actually, verse 5. I'm sorry, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? God is saying, what did I do wrong? Right? What did I do wrong that you have gone so far from me? That's what he's telling Israel. You have left me so far, he says. Then he adds something. They follow worthless idols. And watch this. They became worthless themselves. Did you catch that? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. The people had strayed from God, had forgotten God. They had gone a complete opposite direction from God. They followed idols, worthless idols, and they became worthless themselves. Do you know what the number one problem, one of the number one problems in today's society is? Emotional, I'm talking about. Is self-worth. I'm not talking just teenagers now. I'm not talking just young people. I mean, we're talking across the board. You know, from 10 to 88, or 98, or 102. I think Carl's going to be 102 here in a few days. Amen for that. That's a praise. Right? So we got to go at least to 102. Self-worth. When you feel like you are worthless, when you feel like you do not have any worth, not only to yourself, but to your loved ones, to your family, to your friends, to anybody, the easiest thing to do is to give up, to say, forget it. I'm not worth it anyway. And then we get into a cycle where it just becomes more damaging to ourselves and to others. When you feel like you are worthless and nobody cares about you, the easiest thing to say is, I don't care back. God, if you don't care about me, I don't care about you. Right? Church, if you don't care about me, I don't care about you. Family, if you don't care about me, I don't care about you. You ever heard it? You ever done it? Right? It's easy when we don't have worth in who we are. Well, who are we anyways? We are the children of God. We are the redeemed of God. We belong to God. As a matter of fact, God says, verse 6, they did not ask, where is the Lord? They became worthless because they followed after worthless idols because they had forsaken who God was. They had forsaken, they had forgotten what God had done for them. They lost worth. Now God says right there, middle part of verse 6, I brought you out of Egypt. I was the one that led you through the wilderness. I was the one that led you through the land of deserts and reefs, a land of toil and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. I brought you into a fertile land. God says, I have done all of these things for you. Look at what I have provided. God was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. He provided for them manna. He provided for them when they wanted meat. He provided for them with those little birds that run around the streets. Quail, right? Man, they ate so much quail that, man, they didn't want to see another quail after that. God provided for them. God provided water for them out of the rock. Kept them strong. None of them ever got sick. Sickness was not in their midst. You see, God provided for them. God is saying, I am right here. I'm right here. All you need to do is ask, where is God? And I'll answer. I'll give you the living water. I'll give you the refreshing water that will give you strength, that will refresh your energies, that will refresh your spirit, that will refresh your soul. It is so easy to forget about God when we're going through a difficult time. Yet God says, forsake me not. Because if you forsake me, you lose your identity. You lose your self-worth. You lose who you are. Don't forsake me in times of trouble. Now, let me illustrate this point even a little more. Now, this is just my own personal opinion, right? That's why I put my Bible over there. My own personal opinion now. I believe that when you are going through difficult times in your life and you're trying to be faithful to God, right? The enemy is not going to be very happy with you. Right? Listen, folks, Christ didn't have it easy. He struggled because the enemy was trying to trip him up. I believe that when you're going through difficulties in your life, when you're struggling personally, when you're struggling as a family, when there's things that are happening that are out of your control, the enemy is trying to trip you up to get you to the point where you say, "Forget you, God." He's trying to push you to the point where you say, "Forget you, church." But God is saying, "Don't forget me. I'm right here for you. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the energy. I'll give you the victory if you just remember who I am. Remember what I have done for you." And I think that whenever we face troubles, folks, all we have to do is look back at how God has led us in the past. How faithful He has been. How much He has provided for us. And we can gain encouragement for the future. So when you go through difficult times, maybe turn them around. And instead of wondering why the devil is trying to, or why the enemy is trying to trip you up, maybe turn them around and start looking at them. Huh. I wonder what God is trying to teach me through this. I wonder why God is, or what God is preparing me for. I wonder what God has in store for me. You see, when we change the outlook, when we change the philosophy, then our heart will not turn hard against God or against anybody else. Our spirit, our person, our character won't be a soft character where we allow everything to go. But I believe that we will become like that coffee bean that transforms, that changes its environment with the aroma of Christ, with the character of Christ showing forth. You see, when we go through difficulties, it is in those times that God can use us the most if we remember who He is. We can speak a louder testimony, a more powerful testimony in those times than perhaps we ever could. God says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own wells, broken wells that cannot hold water." God says, "Forsake me not. I'm right here. I will provide for you. No matter what you go through this year, no matter what comes your way, remember that God is there to give you the strength to overcome. And remember that He will be there. He will be there until the day He calls us to be with Him face to face. Forsake Him not." May God bless you.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere He leads me in this world below. Anywhere without Him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Our Father in heaven, just want to thank you so much for your mercy and for your faithfulness towards us. And Lord, I just want to bless this congregation this morning with the words of Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Lord, I pray that this will be the principle that we live by, and that we always keep you in the forefront of our lives. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.